Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Well, he got out when he was young. Now he's not so young. He's not old, but he's not so young. Based in Los Angeles from Octagon Hockey, it's Agent Provocateur time. Normally on Wednesdays at about 5:45, Montreal-born Alan Walsh joins us. How you doing, Alan?
Great. How you doing, Mitch?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. You feeling better? I know Alan was here and traveled yesterday, and that's why he's on today.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather. Did a trip through the Maritimes and was in Montreal the last couple of days and got back to L.A. last night.
All right. I want to pick up on kind of where we left off the last time we spoke on this.
2 summers ago, there was not a, I don't think, Corsi and Fenwick and PDO and some of the zone starts
right
were in the common discourse between agents and teams.
Right.
And I think they entered into that last summer.
All right. In light of Charles Barkley's attack on some of the analytics crowd, specifically the Rockets general manager who attacked him on Twitter, and this seems to be another case almost of old school, new school, even though there's elements of both in both groups. Why do you think there is such a heated, at times, Alan, opposition to the fact that we now have more access to more numbers than ever before?
Well, I think that certain people see analytics as a tremendous threat to what they know and what they believe and what they were brought up to believe. And I think when you bring in, whether it's new technology or a new way to analyze something or a new group of statistics that impact the way you analyze something, that overall presents to some people a tremendous threat to their very existence. I mean, when you look at what Barkley said, I had a laugh. I think he said, I've always believed analytics was crap. And then he said, it's just some crap that people made up to try to get into the game because they had no talent. And there's a group of people in the National Hockey League today on the management side who will have a certain level of respect for people who played the game. And there's a common refrain of, well, you never played the game, so what do you know? And I think that also, that whole mentality comes to and from the same source.
Which is?
Well, it's you know, when you believe in, for example, analyzing players a certain way or analyzing a game a certain way, and there's a new crowd that's young, vibrant, and has a whole new set of statistics that can, in some circumstances, turn everything that person believes on its head, that can be threatening.
Okay,
if
have
you're not
you
open to change?
Have you? I'm completely, as you know, I'm a numbers guy. I grew up a numbers guy, and I love it. However, I cannot honestly say that after having looked at advanced stats, so-called advanced stats, and maybe because I've been looking at them for a long time. What I considered advanced stats back in the day, like the term analytics in terms of the study of pro sports statistics, we haven't really used that term for many years. It hasn't been around that long, even though some of us have been looking at numbers for a long time. It's not necessarily one and the same. But I can't honestly say I've had my opinion changed as a result of looking at some of these stats. I trust my eyes. I trust my own instincts, and I do trust my eyes. And I can't honestly say I've changed my opinion about a player because of something that is in the advanced stats column. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the discourse has been perverted to some extent from both sides of the argument. You know, advanced stats are another tool in the toolbox. Whereas you may have been analyzing the game and analyzing players using A, B, C, and D, now there's E, F, and G. And that goes into your overall equation of making that analysis. The people who claim analytics and people in support of analytics don't want to watch the game and don't trust their eyeballs are really slanting the argument. Whereas on the other side, many people who have come out and criticized to some extent analytics and the rise, the advent of some of these new stats that have come into the game and into our vocabulary have, at the end of the day, they've led to a feeling that, you know, these analytics, these stats, the what's being presented, they don't have value, and that nothing could be further from the truth. Really, both sides have to come together, and you have to trust your eyeballs, and you have to trust the stats, and use them all as tools in the toolbox.
With agent provocateur Alan Walsh, normally every Wednesday at 5:45. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Pierre LeBrun after 6 o'clock. Watching the Penguins game last night against the Detroit Red Wings. Another impressive performance by Marc-Andre Fleury. A lot of people, a lot of raised eyebrows around North America when you had your client, Marc-Andre, signed to a new long-term contract by the Pittsburgh Penguins. And
this is all down to the playoffs for him. We've seen this movie before. Just bring it in the playoffs.
And as well as he's played, and Pierre McGuire was between the benches, and he talked about what the kind of season that he's had. There is lurking in the background there, as great as he's looked like vintage Fleury this season. What happens at playoff time? He must be aware of that thought out there.
Well, I think that given Mark's history, he knows, and we all know that his season will come down to being judged on playoff performance, and maybe unfairly so. But I think that Mark goes now game by game, and he just went more than 2.5 games without giving up a goal. It was a career record for him. He's got 8 shutouts. He has a .922 save percentage. He's doing his part to help his team win every night.
Is there something specific, Alan? Because he looks like the guy who won the cup, the kid who won the cup. Is there something specific about his game, or it's just the fact that he's got the security?
Well, I don't know if it's so much the contract or contract status. You know, there were some people, I heard some people say, well, he's playing well because he's in a contract year, and then he signed his contract about a quarter of the season in, and then he kept playing well, and that argument died. I think that overall, you look at Mark, he's more mature. His game has gotten much more under control, and I think a lot of credit has to go to his goalie coach and the work that they've done together the last couple of years. And you see in talking to Mark, a lot more focus. And I think the bad goal or a bad game or a slump will roll off him more, whereas in the past he may have taken it too much to heart.
That's Mike Bales, the goalie coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Rod?
Alan, is preparation any different for a veteran? Like, Fleury's 30 years old. He's been through everything. He's won at every level. But we're still talking about the struggle in the playoffs. So long as they get a slot this year and they get into late April and into early May, is it still one game at a time? Is he going to try to approach a playoff game like he would a regular season game in February, or is it different?
I think you have to. In dealing with players for so long and representing Mark since he was 16 years old, players live and die by the next game. And players aren't looking a week, a month, or the next series down the road. You know, the most important day is the game day and being ready for that game and then living and dying for the next game. That's it. And I think that, as the playoffs approach, I think Mark has to, go along with what he's had success with in the past and what he's had success with this year.
Well, if not for a guy named Carey Price, both Marc-Andre Fleury and Yaroslav Halak, I think, would be in the running for the Vezina Trophy, among a couple of other guys, specifically the guy in Nashville. I know you not for a second doubt that Jaro Halak would bounce back and have a good year with the Islanders. What's behind that?
Well, I don't think that Jaro had a poor season last year. If you look at his performance up to the point where he was traded to Buffalo and then a few days later traded to Washington, his statistical performance, goals against average, save percentage, were in the upper 25% of the league and comparable to what, you know, other goalies, Brian Elliott was doing at the time as well. I think that St. Louis made a calculated decision to go in a different direction. That's life. It happens. That's the job of general managers to make those decisions. And it was accepted, and we accepted it. I think that coming to the island, Jaro had a tremendous feeling from the organization of being needed, of being wanted, and everyone believed in him. Here was an organization that most people would say the one glaring weakness in the setup of their team was in goaltending. And they'd gone through many goaltenders, and they've had different goaltending tandems, and for the last several years, that has been probably the one most glaring weakness on the team. So in comes Jaro, and I think the players, the general manager, the coaching staff, everyone wanted Jaro to succeed. Everyone believed in him, and I think Jaro jumped into that situation, felt comfortable very quickly, and you know, is walking with a little bit of a swagger right now. He's a happy guy, and he's playing really well.
One of the great stories being written in the NHL on Long Island, where Ray Ferraro is for the final time tonight in one of his old hockey homes. You can watch that game, Islanders and the Leafs on TSN. Feel better, Alan. Thank you. We'll do it again next week.
You got it. Look forward to it.
Thanks.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.